The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast, home of all things hard rock and heavy metal. I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. Now, let's get things started with the Talking Metal theme song, written by Rob Halford, Metal Mike, and Roy Z.
Hey guys, it's Mark Striegel. Welcome to another edition of the podcast. So glad you can join us here. It's always exciting. You know, I've done 797 episodes of this, and it's always exciting when I talk to somebody I've never spoken with before. And today is one of those days, Wednesday 13. What a great guy, man. I really enjoyed our 20-minute conversation. We had a little trouble connecting with the cell phone. Then we got him on the landline. Everything worked out great. So he has a lot to tell us about, some really exciting stuff. So stay tuned for that. I do want to give a shout out to all our Patreon people. You guys rock. Anthony Mackey, At Metal Dan, Fred Roots, Graveyard Disciple. I think your name's Drake, right, dude? James Bennett, Jason Seth, Jay Vaninsky, JB Allen, Jean Francois Blaise, Joe, no last name with Joe, John Beauvoiri, Matt Carroll, Michael Street, Mike Jones, the Greyhound Dad, Mr. David S. Gray, Miles Atwood, Ralph Petrie, who I don't even really think Ralph listens to the show. He's an old friend of mine from the old days, Ralph. If you do listen to the show, hey, man, how are you? But I think he's just a supporter, and he throws me $2 a month. So thank you, Ralph. Ron Keel, the great Ron Keel, is a Patreon supporter. I can't believe it. Sam, how do you say your last name? Soupy. I'm sorry, Sam. I love you, Sam. Sorry, I can't pronounce your last name. Sean Morgan, Steve Hoker, Steve Saylor. Thanks, guys. You guys rock. Let's get ready for this Wednesday 13 song, but let's also check out a song that Steve sent me. Steven, you sent this. It's a great one. Let's check it out right now.
Saturday night, looking for the fight of a life.
Doing a little flash dance right there. Maniac by Avantasia. Is that how you say it, Steven? The band's name? I've heard of them. I've seen them written up on Blabbermouth and stuff. Honestly, I don't know a hell of a lot about them, but that's great. What fun, man. Speaking of fun, Emily and I were just out at Crossroads, one of our favorite clubs in New Jersey, and we saw Marty Friedman. And I think the tour is over at this point, but God, was he freaking outstanding. And, you know, I liked the Inferno record, but I got to tell you, I didn't recognize a lot of the songs he played when we saw him. And it didn't matter because it was just a party. It was not like this serious thing where guys come out and shred and stare at their, you know, fingers on their guitar necks. It was just an awesome party vibe. The showmanship was through the roof. And of course, the playing was through the roof. But yeah, it was just so much fun. All I can say is they didn't take themselves too seriously. It was a bit goofy, almost, comedic at times. So much fun. If Marty Friedman comes back around through the States, you got to check him out. He put on just a wonderful show at the Crossroads Club in Garwood, New Jersey. Fun times. Really, really dug the whole event. So much fun. And yeah, Marty Friedman, of course, ex-Megadeth, right? And let's get into some Wednesday 13 here on the podcast. This is the song Condolences by Wednesday 13. Let me, you know, one thing we didn't talk about in the interview is this guy's music videos. I love it when an artist or a band puts some effort into their music videos instead of standing, you know, lip syncing and pretending to play a guitar to the track with nothing else. And Wednesday 13 really delivers some fun music videos. There's, you got the horror vibe, you got the girls, you got, that's just fun. I love it. And big props to Wednesday 13 for putting some effort into his music videos. Having said that, he's got a lot of stuff on the, on his plate this year. And he's going to tell us about some of it right now on Talking Metal after we hear the song Condolences by Wednesday 13.
Sorry for your loss. It's Mark Striegel from Talking Metal, and on the line we have Wednesday 13. How are you, man?
I'm good. It's Monday. It's close to my day.
Yeah, early morning on the West Coast, too.
Yeah. I get up super early these days. I set my alarm for 8:30 every day, but I'm usually up like an hour before or something like that. So yeah, I'm not on rock and roll hours at the moment. I'm gonna try to keep the schedule on tour too.
Really?
Just kind of over the staying up till the sun comes up vibe and sleeping till sound check and sleeping through sound check, and those kind of days are behind me. So my days are kind of up and being active these days.
Cool, man. Well, good for you. And I guess you'll see how long that lasts once the tour with Cradle of Filth starts in March,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. We'll see what happens. I held up pretty good last year. I was doing well and getting up early. I was up before everyone else. I'm like the bus mom. I get up and clean up the house, and everybody gets up, and I watch them dirty it up, and I'm just like,
right on, man. Right on.
Yeah, that's my new thing, vacuuming.
Nice, cool. Well, we are totally psyched for this tour, and again, you're going to be heading out with Cradle of Filth. How well do you know Danny Filth?
Not at all. This was something that was offered to us. We had the same management, which definitely helped set that up. But we're also on the same label. That really didn't have anything. We tried to do a tour with them last year when they came through around right before our new album had came out or something like that, and it didn't work out. But yeah, luckily it worked out. I don't know anyone in the band. I think I knew a couple past members just I've met before. But yeah, man, this is a really cool tour for us. It's a great opportunity for us. So I thank them very much for letting us be a part of it. And it's going to be cool because it's not our normal audience, you know. So we get to go out and fight for it every night. I get to be Rocky every night. I get to go out and fight for it. Hopefully, I win.
Right on. And just quickly, I wanted to cover some of the cool stuff you guys offer and also get an explanation on what actually this stuff is with the VMP Meat and Greaves, right? We got the pizza party.
Yeah,
What's that all about?
I try to be clever with it. Well, basically, this is what it comes down to. This day and age, you know, with downloading and Spotify and stuff, bands don't make any money off their records anymore. We put way more into it than we ever make out of it, if you know. And so it's became a thing where, you know, bands to stay on tour, they have to do meet and greets. Now you got your bands like, you know, your top acts like Beyonce and Jay-Z, and they don't have to do meet and greets unless they want to, and just to make money. We're the kind of band that if we don't do these meet and greets, we don't get to pay our bills and
right.
things like that. So I want to make it cool because I feel like I got to charge, you know, to do this. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. Anything worth doing is overdoing. So anything I do is I overdo it. So I wanted to make the VIP special. So I made them limited. So they're a little expensive, but I made them limited and I made them cool. So we have like a pre-show bus where you get to come on our bus with us and hang out and do whatever, and then we offer like a pizza party with 3D glasses, and I have like a bunch of like really horrible 3D old 80s and 70s movies that look terrible. They probably look better in 3D without the glasses, but it's just the experience of doing something different instead of saying, hey, come on the bus and let's sit here awkwardly. Let's sit here awkwardly with 3D glasses.
Right.
And so, yeah, we just try to make it fun, and, you know, and I give them clever names and cool because, you know, it's just like if you're going to do something, I want it to be good for the fans. I don't want anybody to feel like they walked away and it was a cash grab. I want to make it fun, and I make it fun for myself, too, you know, so it's not just about like, oh, here we go, we got to do a meet and greet, and I'm like, you know, I'm excited to do it, and I make it fun for myself, so I go, what could be fun? Oh, let's wear 3D glasses, cool, let's watch, I got all these, got the Creature from the Black Lagoon in 3D, I got this movie in 3D, Friday the 13th, part 3 is in 3D, let's try that one, you know, so it's like, like I said, the 3D and those old films probably look better without the 3D glasses, but yeah, and we call it the VI pizza party, because I was walking around trying to name these different tiers of the VIPs, and I went, VIP pizza. That's funny. Cool.
Right, right on. Definitely.
And then, you know, so again, it's fun for me, and I make it fun for the fans. It's limited. And we've been doing those, and this is my first time kind of doing the pizza party. So, and 3D glasses. So next tour we come back around, it could be something totally. I try to make it different every time and make it fun. So, that's what it's going on tour is for me. I have to make it fun, and I try to make it fun on all levels, on stage, off stage, even while I sleep.
Right on.
A dream catcher.
I think, you know, the fans appreciate that because I've done some of these meet and greets, and a lot of times it's just you get shuffled in front of a screen, you get a quick picture, and then you're shuffled right out. And I've
seen that firsthand, yeah. And that's exactly why I'm doing this and making it cool and making it fun. And, you know, and I even offer one that's just called the ultimate, we'll do it live pass, and it's for one person. And they get to come and hang out with me by themselves, and we can do whatever you want. You know, I have a lot of fans that are shy. I'm shy, you know. It's like, it's so, when they can be like kind of one-on-one, they don't have a group around them. We can do whatever. We can watch TV. We can play Uno. We can make a paper airplane. You know, we can go to the stage. We can check. So I offer that as a special one-person VIP package every show. So it's fun because, you know, and I've seen those shows, unfortunately, when there's 100 people waiting in line, and it's not really the band's fault. You can't meet 100 people. It's hard. It really is. I mean,
right.
I do it in Australia. I put a tap on mine. I've met 50 people, and it takes 2 hours, and I still felt like it was being rushed, and I hated that.
Cool. Well, and like you said, it's a limited amount that you're offering these VIP packages.
It's not like a bunch of people crammed in there and everybody's kind of got a seat, you know.
I hear you. Cool. And the tour starts soon, right? Like next week, I think.
Yeah, I leave on Friday for rehearsal, and then I believe the bus gets to us a few days later. And first show's on the 7th in Las Vegas at House of Blues, which sounds awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
Even though it just snowed there. Can you believe it snowed in Las Vegas?
Yeah, I heard it was snowing in like West Hollywood, too, like a week or so
ago. Yeah, so maybe it'll be raining blood by the time we get there.
Definitely. Cool. And, you know, you guys have been really fairly consistent with releasing new music every couple of years. Is the plan still to release a new album in 2019?
Yes, it is. The album is finished. We're now in the mixing process and hearing mixes and saying, okay, that one's good. Put that in the box. And I should have that wrapped up, honestly, in the next 3 days. We're kind of making, because I leave on Friday for rehearsal. So my goal is to have all the mixes done and everything sent off to the label, and I'm finishing up the liner notes and lyrics and all that stuff. And every album I always mess up, so it's gonna happen again, no matter how many times I spell check it or
right.
Someone spell checks it. So I'm doing that last minute this week, but the record comes out later this year. We're gonna be making an announcement soon because we've put a lot of work and a lot of stuff in this. There's a lot of guests on this record. I never had any guests at all on my album, so I figure, hey, if I'm gonna do it, let's overdo it. So we have like 5 special guests on the album, and it's my ultimate record. It's my ultimate horror record. I feel like I've made a horror movie soundtrack, and we're playing along to it.
Awesome. And musically, are you going places that you didn't go with, like Condolences back in 2017? Is it a different musical direction or kind of down the same path?
I feel like we're still going in that same path. It's definitely heavy, but it's in a different way, if that makes any sense. I don't know how to explain music. But we've definitely added some more keyboards and electronic elements to some of the songs on this record. So that's a little different for us. We haven't done in the past. And actually, Roy from Stone Sour has been helping with he's kind of been scoring the music to our music for this record.
Oh, cool.
Which is really cool, which is what made this whole thing sound like a movie soundtrack, which we'll be announcing more and stuff about that later. But it's definitely heavy. It's got the most vibe and atmosphere I think I've ever created on a record. Like, it's just, It's something that once you listen to it, you want to hit repeat and start over again and go, whoa, because every song is different. It really feels like a movie, and I'm super proud of it. It's just, it's my favorite thing I've ever worked on, and
really?
I've been working on it since September. So it's been a lot of work and a lot of, you know, like I said, having someone else like Roy get involved and help me see beyond kind of the music that we did with the band, and then kind of adding these sounds and stuff. So, so it's just been a lot of work, but it's been the most fun I've ever had on a record. And I think the fans are going to love it. It's perfect for them.
Wow, cool. And I know Roy, I mean, he's obviously the drummer of Stone Sour, but he's known for being a synth guy, too. He knows a lot about, like, keyboards and vintage synth sounds, right?
I had no idea about this. And when we started talking, I went over to his house, and I walked into his studio and was just like, oh, my God. Like, he has, like, the John Carpenter keyboard that he scored his first five films on, every authentic piece of equipment that Blondie's drum machine, Run DMC's machine, like, it's everything. Everything has colors on it. It's like wood, like the boxes are wood with like yellow and red and blue buttons, so you know it's like old and vintage. And man, he just knows his stuff, and like it, he got it instantly. You know, he had been wanting to do something like this, and we were like a perfect pair. So he and I have become like really, really close friends now, and he's definitely added an atmosphere to this record that's just, I can't wait for people to hear it.
Cool. Well, yeah, I'm psyched to hear it. And you mentioned some other special guests. I'm assuming you probably can't go into any details on who they are. Yeah,
I can't, but I will say that I am very shocked and very, it still gives me goosebumps when I hear some of this. That's all I'll say.
Okay, cool, cool. And, you know, I know a question you probably get hit a lot with, Joey Jordison. You connected with him, I guess it was about a year ago, and you guys hadn't, you've been out of touch for a while. Are you still in touch with him?
Yeah, he actually wrote me the day I posted online. I had been a year off drinking, and he had wrote me and just told me congratulations, and he was proud of me, and I wrote back, thank you. And we said Happy New Year as well. And, you know, so it's just been, we haven't been like, you know, texting constantly or anything like that, but we're still in touch, and there's no question mark kind of in the air of, well, you know, or does this guy like me anymore? You know, like we're still friends, but we have not made any plans or talked any further beyond what we spoke about whenever we met back at his place, I believe Memorial Day weekend it was, and we had to switch a bus out, and it happened to be right like 10 minutes from his house. So,
right,
so we went over and hung out, and that was the first time in like 10 years or 8 years or something like that.
Cool. So did you give up drinking? Was that like a New Year's resolution going into 2018?
It was the new life resolution.
Right, okay.
I stopped drinking last January of last year. I just got to that point where, you know, I had quit a couple times, but I just got to that point where I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired and feeling like a wasteoid, you know, and my manager Dez, who's been a devil driver, he's been sober now for a couple of years, and he was there in the very beginning when I stopped drinking, and him and Randy Blythe, you know, were like kind of like my buddies I could talk to or reach out to, and you know, because they are both guys I partied with, and now they don't, you know, and I'm like, well, if those guys could stop, you know, so it gave me a little of help. And then there's just a whole community of people that just used to party and they just don't anymore. It's just like we're getting older and we've kind of went through that phase, and I think everybody will eventually do that, and then the ones that don't are the ones that we unfortunately read about when we wake up in the morning and go, this guy passed away because they didn't stop, and I don't want to be that guy.
Right on. Well, good for you, man. Congratulations. That's great.
And thank you.
You sounds like got to celebrate 1 year of sobriety on stage at Ozfest, right? New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
How was that? That's a pretty high profile show. Congratulations on that, man.
Thank you. Yeah, man. That was That was an honor. That was the second Ozfest that I had been a part of. Murder Dolls had did one in England like 10 years ago at the O2 Arena in London with Korn and Ozzy and in a huge 30,000 seat arena, which was nuts. And then we got offered to do this, you know, and which is literally 10 minutes away from my house here on New Year's Eve. And there wasn't a whole lot of bands on. I think there were 8-9 bands total, and we were one that got picked for it. And it was great. You know, I didn't know what to expect. They were like, oh, it's an outside stage. I'm like, well, that's cool. You know, it's kind of set up like the old Ozfest where you just had bands all day and then you would go see the main stage or whatever. And it worked. I mean, there were people there. We played at like 2:30 or 3 in the afternoon, and the parking lot was filled, and we got to come out and do like a 30-40 minute set, and everyone at Ozfest was great to us, treated us great. Ice-T came by our dressing room and said, "What's up?" That's
my awesome.
Years. So yeah, man, it was cool, and that was a awesome way to celebrate a year not drinking and going into the new year. And this year we have so much going on. We're pacing our announcements on things. So I can say we have this entire year filled up. So anyone around the world going, are you coming to Europe? Are you coming to Australia? Are you coming here? Yes.
Cool.
We're going everywhere. The whole year is booked. I think I have like 2 weeks off and that's it once I leave on Friday. So it's a busy, busy year, and we'll be announcing a lot of this stuff online and the album release date and the album covers. There's two different covers, and there's a lot of stuff we're doing with this. We're not doing the old way of just standard video and talk about the record. We're gonna make this fun.
Cool. That's awesome, man. I'm really excited to hear the new record. We are excited for the tour with Cradle of Filth. A generic question for you before I let you go. What was your first concert?
First concert, Motley Crue, Dr. Feelgood. They were the biggest band in the world. Tour sold out in 5 minutes, and Warrant was the opening band. That was their first opening tour in an arena, and that was my two first bands I ever saw live. And I saw that and saw a giant pentagram floating over the ceiling before Motley Crue came out and said, "This is what I want to do."
Right on, right on.
This is it. So I'm glad I got to see something cool in its prime, and just the atmosphere around that was probably as cool as watching the show, because people were just into it. There were no cell phones. You know what I mean? It was just diehards
right.
for music, and people in the nosebleed section were getting nosebleeds from headbanging.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like yeah. It's just. And that was a cool thing to see as a little 11-year-old kid going, whoa.
Right on. Cool. And before I let you go, just a final thought, something you said earlier, that you said you're shy, you know, and I was thinking about that. And it because you see your videos and you see you on stage and you seem anything but shy. Does the theatrics kind of help somebody who's shy like you become something else? Like how does your shyness affect your performance?
Well, that was kind of what I used as my way to get out of that, you know. And unfortunately, that's kind of how I started drinking, too. Drinking started kind of getting me out of my shyness. And I went, oh, cool, I'm not shy anymore when I'm wasted.
Right, right.
But the same thing with theatrics and doing makeup and doing costumes and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, you know, I can just become this other character. I'm not just me. So it was easy to just kind of change into that. So I'm definitely not as shy. I still consider myself kind of a shy person. I don't just walk into a room and just with strangers and go, hey, everybody, look at me, blah, blah, blah. I'm
right.
Clown. I'm pretty quiet, you know, but once you get to know me, I won't shut up. So,
right.
You know what I mean? So it's just, but yes, the theatrics and all that kind of stuff definitely helped bring out, you know, I was able to be the person I didn't think I could be. You know, and so that's been a really cool outlet for me. And I just do all these different costumes and masks and changes and stuff. And it's cool. It's like I get to be a different character like every single song now on our live show.
That is awesome. And again, the live show is starting up in Vegas next week, right? March, what is it?
March 7th, I believe.
March 7th, okay.
Yeah.
So by the time I post this, it'll be exactly a week, and we encourage everyone to get out and see Wednesday 13 on tour with Cradle of Filth. It's been great talking with you, man. I wish you all the best of luck with the tour and the upcoming album.
Thank you so much.
Okay, have a great day.
Big thanks to Wednesday 13 for chatting with us. Good to get to know him, and I've never spoken with him before, at least I don't think I have. But after you've done 800 episodes of a podcast, sometimes you forget. But I am 99.9% sure I've never had Wednesday 13 on a Talking Metal episode, and hopefully we'll have him on again real soon. I'm looking forward to the tour with Cradle of Filth. I wouldn't, you know, definitely two different sounding bands, but I can see some overlapping in their fan base. So I hope it goes well for them, and I hope it exposes them to some new people. And yeah, you know, the diehard fans, the diehard Wednesday 13 fans are always there to support him. So yeah, check it out. Support Wednesday 13. Let him know you heard his interview on Talking Metal. And let's keep this one short today, okay, guys? We're going to go out with another track here, and that's it. That's it. I did want to mention before I let you go that I do have the Talking Metal hoodies now in stock. I've only moved two of them, so I'd love to hit you guys up with a Talking Metal hoodie. They're $60, and they're pullovers, and I know you're thinking, wow, well, that's really expensive, Mark, but I paid like a ton of money to get each one made. There was a little mix up. I thought they were going to be zipper hoodies. They're not. Maybe down the road we'll get those. I'm not making any promises though. In the meantime, show your support for the Talking Metal podcast by buying a hoodie for $60. Just hit up my PayPal account. And of course we have the Talking Metal t-shirts too. They are available for $20. Also, you can hit up my PayPal account to get one of those. Or join us on Patreon. If you do the $5 a month or more tier on Patreon, you will get a Talking Metal t-shirt sent out to you. And the Patreon stuff is just a lot of fun. We're having great conversation there. I'm about to post some new videos on Patreon, so stay tuned for all that. And to take us out, guys, this is a little Alice Cooper. I love this track. This is Vengeance Is Mine, here on Talking Metal. We'll be right back.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.